going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome back to the Mark Ritten Show. Brad Young sitting in today and hanging out with the cool kids here. Much more fun than practicing law, I assure you. We welcome, of course, Hall of Famer Fred Bottomer.
Hey, Brad.
Good to talk to you, buddy. Glad Thank you're you. Here.
How about old Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
That's right.
I just like pressing that one.
Thanks.
And I like, of course, hearing it.
I like hearing it. So
I do,
thank
too,
you.
Because it is impressive. And speaking of impressive, Sue is here. Thank you very much, Sue. And we're
yes.
going to get to Sue's news, but I want to give just a couple of give you a menu of a couple of things here. First of all, right now today, Annie Frye, our very own Annie Frye, she's part of the White House press corps today and tomorrow. And President Trump is supposed to be signing some executive orders on immigration. Annie's going to be a part of that. She'll be there, and hopefully she'll be checking in as the situation warrants. Also, the rest of the week, we'll be having Mike Elam will be sitting in for Mark Reardon. I'll be back next week for a couple of days as well, so lots of variety here on the Mark Reardon Show. And finally, Wednesday night, right here on 97.1 FM Talk, we will be covering the News Nation Town Hall. That'll be from 7 to 9 p.m. Chris Cuomo will host President Trump, and they will be joined by Bill O'Reilly, Stephen Smith, to discuss literally the first 100 days of the second term of President Trump. And, of course, immigration and lots of other things will be certain to be topics here Wednesday night. Mark your calendars, phone your friends, wake the neighbors. It'll be Wednesday night from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on 97.1 FM Talk. And with that out of the way, my favorite part of the Mark Ritten Show, Sue's News.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No.
And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
How about the Blues? Ugh. So fun to watch.
That was great.
Was it not so fun to watch? Brad, did you catch any?
I did. I actually only saw the third period because I started it late. I had it recorded as well. What a game. What a game.
They are so fun to watch when they are like this. And to me, they are full of confidence. And when the
yes.
Blues are confident,
yes.
all good can happen.
Mm. It changes your mood for the whole day,
it
doesn't
can.
It? For the whole day. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, really, I love it.
It really does. So I was at games 3 and 4, and I have to give my love to Enterprise Center. They hit it home. They did such a good job, both from a production standpoint of being able to get the crowd involved, but also like having alumni there. Chris Pronger was there for Game 3, getting the crowd fired up. Tony La Russa and Wilson Contreras were both there. They showed them on the screens. I mean, when they showed Tony La Russa, that place erupted. And the only person that was louder in those couple days than that was when they showed Pat Maroon at the beginning of Game 4.
Love it.
He's chugging a beer, and the crowd just loses their minds at the beginning of the game. It was so much fun, and it's so much more fun right when you win. So
yeah.
Good stuff, and let's hope that they can bring this series home here by the end of the week.
Fingers crossed.
And listen, I was at a couple of the Stanley Cup games in 2019,
yeah.
And to me, that last game that the Blues played felt it had the feeling and the atmosphere and the excitement and the energy of the games where I was at the Stanley Cup Finals. It felt like that.
Yeah, it that's awesome. It's just how it is. I'm not allowed to go to any Stanley Cup games because the one I went to in 19, they lost.
Ah, okay.
Well, therefore, to be fair, so did most because they only won one of the home games. But yeah. That was the one I was at.
Well, you know what? You're good luck.
Yeah,
we're sending you out.
I guess it's just I got to put it on my back, and I got to make the trip up to Winnipeg.
I might have to come and watch me play pickleball.
Play pickleball. Hey, I don't want to interrupt you, but I will say I was at the Cardinals game last week, and my wife and I were on the Kiss Cam.
So
just
adorable.
To let you know,
that's
first
adorable.
Time we were on Friday night, and the cameraman was there. We made the Kiss Cam. Never, never, ever been on the Kiss Cam before.
That's
so
awesome.
Tell me, I'm always curious about this.
Yes.
Were you the couple that didn't even notice it until the end?
No.
Yeah, or
did you know right away?
I saw the cameraman right where we were sitting. And he looked at me, and I tipped my cap to him. And then when they started the Kiss Cam, he put right on me and my wife. I took my hat off, and I did like no paparazzi. And I covered it up. And then I'm kissing my wife, and I put the hat back on, and I'm laughing because I'm looking at the camera. I'm not looking at the Jumbotron. I'm looking at the camera, and I got a lot. In fact, a friend of mine was at the game. He texted me. He said, "Get a room."
That's really
did you get it? Did you get a good reaction from the crowd?
Oh, I did.
Good. That's
big,
what
good.
Counts.
Big applause.
That's what counts.
I appreciate people like you, Brad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, sometimes when it's like a brother and sister, and they can't tell, and then they're like, that kind of breaks
me up. No.
I also enjoy those, but that's just me.
Well, Arkansas fans would like it for brother and sister,
well,
but that's a whole other issue.
We got a Mizzou fan here or something?
Can you tell? 66 years ago, on this day in history in 1959, the first independent TV station in St. Louis signed on. Yep, it's happy birthday to Channel 11. KPLR, which of course is short for Koppler, which I learned in one of the History of the Lews.
Yep,
and according to Joe Sonderman's book, which I like, it's This Day in St. Louis History, the plan was, okay, it's coming on the air, and it's going to air the Cards-Reds game that night. Everybody's all set, but then the game's rained out. So the next night, the Cards played Milwaukee, which, by the way, as Fred would know, was the Braves at the time.
Right.
And they had Jack Buck, Harry Carey, and Joe Garagiola.
What a team.
Isn't that awesome?
Oh.
But that was 66 years ago today. All right, and then I heard this story, and I thought, what? Okay. Bill Belichick is doing a press tour for his new book, The Art of Winning, Lessons from Life in Football. And he was interviewed yesterday on CBS Sunday Morning. And when he was asked about his current and much younger girlfriend, remember, he's 70-whatever, and she's 24, she was off to the side controlling what wouldn't be discussed while the interview was underway. It's so awkward. Here it is.
Really?
24-year-old Jordan Hudson, his creative muse, as he writes in his book.
Make sure that that's the...
Jordan was a constant presence during our interview.
Never been too worried about what everybody else thinks. Just try to do what I feel like is best for me and what's right.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
Oh, my
okay.
Gosh.
Wow. What is happening?
I just want to do what's right, or he defines right as whatever his girlfriend tells him is right.
She's 24.
Wow.
She's controlling it.
This guy's won six Super Bowls.
Thank
he is the
you.
Greatest coach in NFL history.
Uh-huh.
That is unbelievable.
Mm. Isn't it shocking? And so I heard that, and I thought, well, I have to, what? I have to share.
So they played it just like that on air?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Good.
Wow, good.
Good,
good
is
glad
right.
They did.
And then I looked it up. They met on an airplane. So there.
Wait, that's it?
They met on an airplane. He was seated next to her. And they started, he commented about, because at the time she was like head cheerleader. And so, I mean, she would have been young. Not that 24 isn't young. And she had a book that he was interested in. And they started talking. And that's And they were friends for a while, and then he broke up with whatever, or maybe she broke up with him. I don't know. And 2022, and then they've kind of come to where they are today, but now she's showing up in interviews and saying what they're going to talk about.
That
amazing. I can promise you that Bill Belichick, the majority of his clothes and his shoes are older than his girlfriend.
Well,
did you the
clearly.
Shirt, the shirt that he was wearing during the interview was a Navy University shirt, but it had a rip in the shirt, like right above the where the collar is. It had a rip because he is. He does not care. But I thought that was hilarious.
Uh-huh. Thank you, crowd.
Yikes.
Because it's weird.
Crowd did
Fred,
not
that's
think
weird.
It was funny.
It's not me.
Oh, no, that's very weird.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class of 2025 was finally announced. They announced it on American Idol last night. Bad Company, Chubby Checker, who only has one hit, Cyndi Lauper, Soundgarden, and the White Stripes. So the winners of the fan vote, Fish, that we talked about last week, got snubbed. Salt-N-Pepa and Warren Zevon will be inducted into the musical influence category. Okay, so Brad, Fish won the fan vote last week with 330,000 votes. Bad Company came in second. And Billy Idol followed in third, but he didn't make it this round either.
Wait, I'm confused.
Mm. I like how the 330,000 votes for Fish equates to just
one vote
for the Hall of Fame.
Oh,
wow.
That's what I was about to ask. Yeah. How many votes does it take to get in?
I don't know. I should have looked that up.
I think we need a recount here.
But all of that, they don't care about the people.
That's so silly.
They put in who they want.
That's
it's just
ridiculous.
Interesting. Yeah, and despite the love from fans, what are you going to do? The induction ceremony will take place on November 8th in L.A. It's going to stream live on Disney+. Then they make it available on Hulu the next day, and then it gets a broadcast on ABC later. Will you watch, Fred?
No.
I won't either. Brad?
No.
I don't think it. Do people care? What about the Ute, Ethan?
Hell no.
Thank you. I didn't think so. All right. There is a new poll out on running swagger. Okay, 2,000 people were apparently asked which animals they thought they'd be able to outrun. Okay, Eaton.
Oh, boy.
2% believe they could outrun a horse in a 100-meter dash. It's got to be men.
Nobody's going to outrun a horse.
And for what it's worth, the fastest horse ever recorded managed a speed of more than 40 miles per hour, people. Okay?
Oh, my gosh.
And Usain Bolt's fastest speed was 28 miles per hour, which is unbelievable, by the way.
There is actually someone who could run that fast. And that's Governor J.B. Pritzker towards an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Good Lord. And they say 27% of people are confident they could outrun a crocodile. Newsflash.
No.
No.
What?
They
can
run like 10 miles an hour on land. And if you were really good, I mean, if you put the croc in one lane and you in the other, but that's not how it happens. It happens by the water, and the croc comes out, poof, before you've run away.
And you're a snack.
And you did.
Game over.
Mm-hmm. You can't. 20% of people think they can outrun an elephant, which can run more than 20 miles an hour. And 11% of people say, I could outsprint a house cat, but that's not going to happen.
I can outrun a tree sloth.
Same.
I
and that's
that.
About it.
You're not reinstating my hope in humanity.
No,
here.
Sorry
that's
about
not
that.
What you're doing.
All right, since Brad was talking about Star Wars, how was the movie, by the way?
Oh, you know, here's what, to me, the greatest thing about that. Well, there's a lot of great things about the movie. But in 20 years, think about the technological progress we've had in 20 years.
Which movie is it now?
This is the third of the prequels. It's called The Revenge of the Sith. Mm. And it came out 20 years ago. And the special effects were it seemed as if the movie came out yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Seriously?
And they were 20 years old. They were that good.
Wow.
20 years ago.
Were a ton of people at the theater?
It was probably 20% full. That's it.
Oh, okay. Ethan,
but
did you say that it was
it
doing
did,
really
it
well?
It did really well as to what I saw. I saw it generated a lot of money. So this was the one, Sue... this episode about this is the final like setup right of how Anakin Skywalker becomes Darth Vader.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So that's what it was. So it was obviously
it's a
really
big one.
It's a big one.
Yeah. You hear James Earl Jones's voice at the end of the movie.
That's all you really want, isn't it? All right. Have you ever wondered why Yoda speaks backwards in Star Wars? Well, George Lucas has finally given us the answer. And he was out during a 45th anniversary screening of The Empire Strikes Back, which is the last Star Wars movie I saw. What's the last Star Wars you
I
saw?
I think same one.
Yeah, thank you for that. Appreciate it. Because he said, well, let's hear. Let's hear what he says. Don't I have a
you
little bit of Yoda?
That I say.
Master, moving stones around is one thing. This is totally different.
No different. Only different in your mind. You must unlearn what you have learned.
All right, I'll give it a try.
No, try not. Do or do not. There is no try.
I did. Okay. So for the Freds and the me of the world that don't remember what Yoda sounds like, that's it. But here is what George Lucas said. Because if you speak regular English, people will not listen that much. But if he had an accent or it's really hard to understand what he's saying, they focus on what he's saying. And I wanted them to focus on what Yoda was saying. He was basically the philosopher of the movie. I had to figure out a way to get people to actually listen, especially 12-year-olds.
Genius.
Yes.
I think that really is genius.
Yoda was my favorite growing up. So, I mean, clearly it worked.
Right. What's not to like?
And in Revenge of the Sith, he's got some moves.
Does
yeah, he?
Does. Oh, he's got some moves.
Yeah, you get the old Yoda in the original three, but in the prequels, you get a younger Yoda, I guess.
Well,
is how you'd say
a CGI
he's still,
Yoda.
He's still old, right? But yeah.
Wait a minute. How do they make him younger?
Well,
did they really
he's
CGI
not actually
him?
Younger, but
he's like 20 years younger, which is irrelevant just, when you're 900.
He has right? he still has a cane, right? But he's doing all kinds of crazy flips and.
Oh, he's
stuff.
Doing acrobatics?
Oh, yeah.
Basically,
Jackie
yeah.
Chan. He'd put Jackie Chan to shame.
Jackie Chan Yoda. Okay, well, people on Reddit are sharing which actors nailed their role so well that no one else could ever compare. And I thought this was interesting. Just because I know Fred loves the Star Trek. Could anyone replace Leonard Nimoy as Spock?
I don't think so.
See, that's it. Did you watch?
Oh, listen, I went to Star Trek conventions. I actually met Leonard Nimoy at a Star Trek convention.
Oh, my gosh.
That's how into it I am.
Well, I would say that no one could compare to that. That's number five on the list. Would you agree?
Yes.
Number four, Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka. And we've had several Willy Wonkas past then. I
None
can't
compare.
Say.
None compare. My wife likes to say when she was a kid and saw Willy Wonka, she thought that Gene Wilder was Willy Wonka.
Aww.
And when she would see him in interviews, she would say, look, there's Willy Wonka. She thought it really was Willy Wonka.
Okay, well, then that's good acting. Number three is Mike Myers as Austin Powers. Yes, nobody can touch that. Number two, Johnny Depp as Captain Jack Sparrow. I would agree with
that's
that.
A good one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the number one was James Gandolfini as Tony Soprano.
Oh,
you can't beat that.
Not at all.
And of course, I've screwed up the bell and I can't do it. Okay,
a daily occurrence.
You're right. And finally, in Sue's news, we do have today's random fact. I can't decide. All right, let's do this one. After Top Gun came out, the movie, the number of men joining the Navy to become naval pilots went up 500%.
Oh,
that's hilarious.
500%.
Wow.
Not too shabby.
I wonder if any military movie even competes with numbers like that.
I can't imagine that it does.
But I can tell you that NASA thought they were going to get the Top Gun treatment because they backed the movie Armageddon.
Oh.
And they didn't see anybody wanting to join NASA because of Armageddon.
I was going to say, you got to consider the plot line there. And that's it for Sue's News.
Ah, a great Sue's News here. Thank you very much, Sue. Hey, we've got more here on the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young sitting in today. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Congressman Bob Onder, congressman from Missouri, and to talk about everything Washington, including Trump's first 100 days, the tariffs, immigration, and more next on The Mark Reardon Show, 97.1.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drop deep
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back to the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young sitting in today, and it is an honor and a pleasure to welcome our next guest on the show this afternoon, Dr. Congressman Bob Onder. I'm not sure how you juggle those titles, but Congressman, welcome to the Mark Reardon Show.
Thank you, Brad. Great to be back.
I also have to give a disclaimer. Before he was a congressman, a U.S. congressman, Dr. Bob actually treated me for allergies. So in case there's some kind of a problem with that, I wanted to go ahead and throw that out there to know that he's not only my congressman, but he's also my doctor, which is absolutely a cool thing, a doctor in Congress. But Dr. Bob, or Congressman, what I want to do is I want to jump in here because I know that your time is very precious. And what I want to talk about is this. Today, or this week, actually, we're looking at the end of the first 100 days of the second Trump administration. Up to this point, what is your analysis of the Trump administration thus far?
Well, of course, President Trump was elected on a number of very important issues, the top two of which were securing the border, improving public safety, and improving the economy. And I think we're already seeing success in both of those areas. Border crossings are down as much as 95% compared to the days of the Biden administration. I mean, and this is even before Congress has passed the so-called Big Beautiful Bill that we're working on to provide more resources for border security. And regarding the economy, we've had a good jobs report. We have low inflation. I do think our economy is going to face some headwinds in the course of tariffs and the potential trade war. But at the same time, I think overall we're on the right track as we see the Trump tax cuts from 2017 renewed, as we see deregulation, especially in the area of energy policy. I think we're going to things are going to get better and better.
Now, you mentioned, Congressman, you mentioned the trade tariffs and you mentioned we have some headwinds coming up. But one of the things that drives me crazy, one of the millions of things that drives me crazy about the mainstream media is that they never talk about the big picture. We hear a lot. We hear every day about the problems with the economy right now because of allegedly tied to the tariffs. But what's the big picture? In other words, what are these tariffs designed to accomplish?
Yeah, I think the big picture is that we look at a world economy where almost every country has much higher trade barriers, tariffs, but also other, especially Europe, non-tariff barriers, various ridiculous regulations. And this has gutted American manufacturing over the past decades. It's caused a loss of jobs. It's caused a loss of manufacturing capacity. And really even is a national security concern. So what President Trump is talking about with reciprocal tariffs, but I think in many cases we'll see trade deals negotiated before the tariffs go into effect. We're talking about rebalancing things, returning to a regime that's as fair, as free of trade as possible, but also fair trade where we aren't taken advantage of by foreign economies and foreign countries.
We're talking to U.S. Congressman Bob Onder from right here in Missouri. And Congressman, you mentioned, obviously, at the very beginning, the things that Donald Trump was elected to do. One of those things dealt with immigration. Now, you mentioned that immigration is down 95%. I've seen in some places that it's down to zero in areas that were flooded. It's down to zero illegal immigrant crossings compared to where they were just a year or two ago. And I want to ask you about this. We were told for the 4 years of the Biden administration that nothing could be done about the border unless Congress acted. what does the current state of the illegal immigration in the United States say about that position of the Biden administration when they tried to blame Congress for the problem?
Yeah, well, not only was there talk, Brad, about Congress acting, but there was something very specific that Biden, Chuck Schumer, and the Democrats wanted Congress to do, which is to pass what I called the Biden amnesty bill, the bill that would say that a million illegal aliens could enter the country every year before the president could do anything to shut down the border. You know, in the first 100 days, Congress has done one thing. We passed the Lake and Riley Act, which is a very important piece of legislation to crack down on and detain and deport criminal illegal aliens. But most of what's been done by the Trump administration is to enforce already existing law. And I've been saying this, I've been fighting this issue for a couple of decades now. I've always said that we don't so much need new laws. In some cases, we need more resources at the border. But what we need is to enforce the law. And President Trump, by doing that, along with Tom Holm and Kristi Noem and Pat Bondi and others, has enforced the law. And the message to would-be illegal aliens is that we're not tolerating it anymore. So we're doing two things. One is we're shutting down the borders. We're cutting down on border crossings. And at the same time, we're sending the message that we're going to do interior enforcement as well. If you are illegally in the country, especially if you're illegally in the country and committing crimes, we are going to detain and deport you. If you're a member of an alien drug gang or a human trafficking gang or trafficking in fentanyl, we are going to detain and deport you. And that's what President Trump has done. And I think in addition to the very high profile deportations you hear talked about, I think you have a lot of self-deportation. You have a lot of people who are just saying, you know, I thought under Joe Biden, I was going to get his stay here forever. Eventually I'd get citizenship and welfare benefits and the right to vote. Well, maybe the calculus for those people favors going back home to their country of origin.
And what's your reaction to this, Congressman? Because I've talked about this earlier in the show today, but one of the hot issues right now deals with this Wisconsin judge, Hannah Dugan, who was arrested by the FBI. And we hear the liberals in Congress and in the Senate talking about how it's terrible that a member of the judicial branch has been arrested by the executive branch. But we know that there's solid evidence that she was breaking the law. Do you have any problem with the Trump administration having this judge, Hannah Dugan, arrested in light of the fact that there's evidence that she was actively breaking the law?
Yeah, I don't see anything in our Constitution or our statute books that says judges don't have to obey laws. Look, she was harboring an illegal alien, and that's a crime, and she deserves to get arrested and charged and tried. And if she's guilty, sent to prison just like anyone else. Certainly, it's appropriate that she has lost her judgeship. No, you just can't make these stories up. They are so ridiculous. But that is the mindset of the sanctuary city Democrats who just want to snub their nose at our immigration law and oppose President Trump at every step of the way. It really is Trump derangement syndrome, as it's sometimes been called, that there are these issues that 80-90% of the public supports us, the Republican Congress, President Trump on, and yet the Democrats insist on doing ridiculous things like this, like having sanctuary cities and doing everything they can to resist immigration enforcement.
We're talking to Congressman Bob Onder from right here in Missouri. And Congressman, I know your time is very valuable, but I want to get to this question before we go. And that is, we've heard about the big, beautiful bill that's going to be coming out of Congress regarding the taxes and lowering taxes and making the temporary tax reduction that came in the first Trump administration, make those elements permanent. Where do we stand on the big, beautiful tax bill?
Yeah, that's right, Brad. It is critical that we pass that bill. You know, otherwise, the American people, will face a $9.5 trillion tax increase, the largest tax increase in American history. The average American family will see a 22% increase in their taxes. Before Easter recess, we passed the Senate version of the budget resolution that got the process started. I'm happy to say that this week we're going to have markups, committee work on where we actually write the big, beautiful bill. Tomorrow, Education and Workforce that I serve on will be marking up their part of the bill. And the next day, Judiciary and Transportation Infrastructure that I also serve on will be marking up their part of the bill. So we're moving right along. I think our version of the bill out by Memorial Day, hopefully our Senate counterparts will follow suit, and we'll get this done sometime late spring, early this summer.
Right. And I guess that was going to be my question about how we move forward, the timeline. Obviously, a lot of folks don't have any concept of how complicated it is to get a bill out like this through the reconciliation process and elements of the bill. But at this point, and I'm not going to ask about any amendments or anything to the bill, but at this point, do you see passage of the big, beautiful bill sometime before the end of summer? Is this going to pass?
I think we will do it. I think we will pass it. There's always, you know, give and take. And I will say, unfortunately, not a single Democrat will likely support us on this. This is a long cry from the bipartisanship of the era of Ronald Reagan, where Tip O'Neill and the Democrats did work with President Reagan on the Kemp-Roth-Reagan tax cut. Right now, Democrats are all pro-taxes, and they're not going to help us. But I think, despite our narrow majority in the U.S. House of Representatives, I think we get it done.
Excellent. Congressman Bob Onder from right here in Missouri, I know that your time is precious. Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon here on the Mark Reardon Show.
Thank you, Brad. Thanks for having me.
Great to talk to you, sir. Hey, and stick around, because coming up after the break, we're going to be talking to your friend and mine, KSDK Sports Director Frank Cusimano. Lots to talk about. Go Blues, hope NFL draft issues, Cardinal issues, dogs and cats living together, all next on the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young filling in, 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back to the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young sitting in this afternoon, and this is a great part of the week. Anytime we get a chance to talk to KSDK Sports Director Frank Cusimano. Frank, great to talk to you again, my friend. Uh-oh, Frank, you're still there.
Yes, sir. I am ready to go.
Oh, excellent. All right. Well, I want to talk to you, Frank. Brad Young here filling in for Mark Reardon. And there's so much to talk about, but you were at the Blues game yesterday. What was the atmosphere like at Enterprise Center?
Well, it started with Pat Maroon firing up the crowd right before the game, and that was about as loud as I've heard it in a long time. I mean, when you have the pride of Oakville, the author of the great Game 7 game-winning goal, trying to fire up the crowd with a beer in his hand, you knew this town was ready for hockey. And you throw in the fact, Brad, that they have now not lost a game in St. Louis in 66 days. Gosh, go to Winnipeg, steal a game, and come back and finish things off on Friday night.
Well, and that's part of the question here. Why is it, and I know there's a certain character about playing at home that makes the game completely different, but when you watched guys like Jake Neighbors and Tyler Tucker and Braden Schenn and Justin Falk and Robert Thomas all scoring goals in the game yesterday, why can't they do that on the road?
Well, you know, first of all, I'm not sure if you've been to many of these playoff hockey games, but the home atmosphere is just electric. I'd like to say it's unique to St. Louis. It's not, because on Wednesday night in Winnipeg, there'll be 15,200 all wearing white, all waving white towels. It's crazy. I think like the home ice advantage in hockey for a playoff game is about as daunting as there is in sports today. So, look, the bottom line is this, is our goaltender has seen 50 shots the last two games, and he's let three goals in. Their goaltender the last two games has seen 46 shots and let in 11 goals and not finished both games. So in terms of mojo and confidence, I'm telling you, if the Blues were to score early in Winnipeg on Wednesday night, I don't know where Connor Hellebuyck's, his psyche is going to be. Because his confidence can't be there now. Now, with that said, he's going to win the Vezina Trophy. He's the best goaltender in the NHL, shortly after the season. But right now, his confidence is waning.
Frank, I got to ask you, you know, it was just a couple of days ago that John Gruden went viral specifically in St. Louis for the unboxing video where he had the motivational speech towards the Blues, and the Blues fans definitely fired them up. I'm hearing some rumors floating around that he will be at Game 6. First, how fun has that been just in general, though, to have the national spotlight from a guy that has very few connections to this area outside of coaching at SEMO, and the fan base has really grabbed hold of that?
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, we thought Pat Maroon fired up the crowd on Sunday. Imagine if they have John Gruden in that same role. It's so obscure. It's so weird. I mean, John Gruden was like a great coach, you're right, with no ties to St. Louis. And he had kind of a, you know, a scandalous ending, and all of a sudden he pops up and he's the Blues' number one motivator. So, and I imagine if he comes to town, Jim Montgomery will have a quick, you know, audience with him, and maybe he even he'll chat with the team. John Gruden won a Super Bowl. He knows how to motivate a squad.
Yeah, yes, he does. Hey, we're talking to Frank Cusumano, KSDK Sports Director. And Frank, I want to talk about the NFL draft for a moment. Luther Burden III, he goes in the second round to the Bears. Here's the question. Should he have gone in the first round, and does it make a difference?
It probably doesn't make a difference. It does make a difference in his bank account because first-round picks make more. But the last time I looked, where he's going to be slotted, he'll make $1.4 million a year. It's a multi-year deal. It's a 10-year, it's a $10 million contract. He's going to be just fine. And he's going to an offense in Chicago where it's that Detroit offense from a year ago. Coach Ben Johnson has taken over. He's got a quarterback in Caleb Williams who can throw it. He's got talented wide receivers around him. I think it's a great spot. And his family can just get in the car every Sunday and drive 5 hours to go watch him play. Yeah, he'll be just fine.
And speaking of the draft, Brady Cook, we all liked watching him, you know, cook up the excitement there in Columbia. He went undrafted, but what happened after the draft?
Well, I just did a Zoom with him about 5 minutes ago, and he before the draft, almost like before it ended, the New York Jets said, you know, Brady, you're not going to be drafted. We are signing you. We're giving you a contract right away. So he'd been there to New York a few weeks ago and spent a lot of time with their head coach, the offensive coordinator, the quarterback coach. They knew all about Brady, and this was like a foregone conclusion. Okay, we're not going to draft you, but we're going to sign you right away. So he may be in a great spot. And I got to tell you something. I'm not going to try to like say that he's never going to be a starter, but teams have to have three quarterbacks. And when you meet the character and the integrity of this guy and you throw in this athleticism that a lot of people don't know about, I think he's got a great chance to make a living in this league for a long time, and maybe one day he'll be a starter.
Frank, I'm going to write that down and remind my family that you predicted that. We're all big Brady Cook fans. Thanks for joining us this afternoon on the Mark Reardon Show.
Okay, Brett, you take care. See ya.
Great to talk to you, Frank. Hey, we've got more coming up next, including talk. We're going to talk about Axios and how the media missed it on Joe Biden's cognitive decline, next on The Mark Reardon Show. Brand new.
Get more at 971talk.com.